we hear about vocation, and we often, we don't often think about God's manifestation to the world through Christ as something about us and our vocation, but it is. In fact, we often don't even think about vocation, do we? We think about vacation, but we don't think about vocation. And
oftentimes, vocation is associated with some kind of religious profession, right?
Religious employment. But that's not right. And it's not just priests or deacons or bishops that are called. In fact, we're all called.
We have all heard and received the call. We hear it every Sunday when we come out here. We are called by Christ
to build up His church, to build up the world. That's who we are. And we heard today how Simon Peter and Andrew were called, and John and James, the sons of Zebedee, how they were called, and how they responded immediately. They immediately responded to Jesus' call. And they began to go with Him as He begins to minister to the world. But just as surely as Peter and Andrew and James and John were called, we've been called too. Now, we may not have been called to as glorious a mission and ministry as theirs, but we're called all the same. And you'll notice that Jesus calls them to be fishers of men, or fishers of people. And the point there seems to be, at least it seems to me, that Jesus is calling them in their strength, to fulfill their strength, because they were fishers. And so what would be more natural for them than to be fishers for people? We're all called to use our gifts, the gifts that God gave us, to build on God's kingdom. We are God's kingdom, and we're called to build that kingdom up by using the gifts that God has given us. And we may have sharpened those gifts, or we may have honed our skills a little bit, but the gifts come from God. And the things that we love, and the things that we find important, and the things that we want to do, those are all given to us by God so that we can use them to build up the world. So often our culture teaches us that if I've got a gift, I've got to sell it and profit by it. That's not what the Scripture teaches. Our gifts were freely given to us so that we can be conduits for God's grace to the world. We also heard today, Joe read to us, a lesson from Jonah. Jonah is one of my favorites. How many of you know the story of Jonah? You all know. Good. Yeah, Jonah was one of the original guys who slept with the fishes. And so Jonah, yeah, it took a while for that one to see. You catch that one right away. See, what Joe read for us today was just the good part of Jonah. It was just the part where Jonah's doing a good thing. Jonah's answering a call. But it wasn't like that for most of the book of Jonah. In fact, you know, God called Jonah and says, go to Nineveh, that great city. Go to Nineveh and prophesy and tell them, I'm going to destroy them. Well, we all like to do that, right? We all want to do that. And so Jonah says, no way, I'm not doing that. Are you kidding me? Why would I want to do that? And you know why Jonah didn't want to do it? It's not because he didn't want to see Nineveh destroyed. Jonah didn't want to do it because Jonah's agenda didn't match up with God's agenda. And Jonah wanted to be a big shot. Jonah said, I'm not going to go to Nineveh and prophesy about the destruction because I know if I go there and they repent, you're a good and gracious God and you won't destroy them. But, let's see. That's going to ruin my reputation. I mean, it's one thing to go and tell people they're going to be destroyed, and then they are.
It's another thing to go and tell people they're going to be destroyed, and they're not. All right? So
when we promise to destroy the Vikings today and to smite the Vikings, we really want God to follow through with that, right?
Well, that's the way it is. Well, so Jonah says, I know you're good, God, and I know you're going to forgive them, and so this is just a fool's errand. And so Jonah decides to go run away, and he goes and gets on a boat. And he's on this ship, and the ship is having all sorts of problems. So Jonah, it's having all sorts of problems. And so the crew begins to inquire, and they learn that Jonah is fleeing from God. It's always a bad idea to flee from God. It's always a bad idea. And so what they say, what are you kidding me? You're a Jonah, right? And so they throw him overboard so that they can live. Well, that's when Jonah begins to sleep with the fishes. And so this big fish comes and swallows Jonah whole. And Jonah's inside the fish. You all know this story, right? I like to tell it, though. I like to tell it. And so Jonah's inside the fish. And he's praying, okay, God, I'm sorry about all this, really. Because probably it's better to be in Nineveh prophesying than being inside this fish. And so the fish spews Jonah out on the shore. And Jonah decides to fulfill God's will. See, what's the lesson here? The lesson is that you really want to use your gifts and you really want to listen and respond to God's call. You didn't see Peter and Andrew and James and John getting swallowed by a fish. No. You know why? Because they did what they were supposed to. And if you want to avoid being swallowed by a fish, you need to do what God called you to do, too. That's the lesson, right? I'm not talking too fast for you folks, am I? So that's the lesson. Now, of course, what happens is Jonah, as Joe read for, Jonah decides to go and prophesy, and so he walks through Nineveh, 3 days' walk through that large city. He walks through telling them, 40 days and you're going to be overthrown. 40 days and you're going to look like those Vikings after the eagle got to you. And so, what happens? They repent. And so what happens? God changes his mind and he doesn't destroy them. And imagine Jonah's mood. Not good. Jonah is really angry. And he says, I knew you would do this. First thing he does, he goes and sits outside of the city in a palace. Which is probably what I would do too. But he sits outside the city. Outside of that great city. Like the size of Philadelphia. And he goes up into like Bucks County. And he sits there. And he's angry with God. He's got his arms crossed and he's angry. He said, I knew you'd do that. I knew you'd do that, God. And then God gets the last word. And so far as we know, Jonah is still mad. And so far as we know, Jonah is still sitting outside of the room. But God gets the last word, and God tells him that he needs to let go of his anger. The people of Nineveh turned around and God forgave them. Now, Jonah had a big mission. And you and I probably not so much.
things that we do well in the service of God and in the service of our brothers and sisters. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. I mean, I do things that are a big deal, but you don't have to do things that are a big deal. Right? You can do simple things. Like being nice to the postman. Or being nice to those people who ring your bell even though you have a sign on your door that says, do not ring the bell. No solicitors. Harry put that sign up because she got tired of the eruptions that occur whenever they do. The dog barks and then it's just bad. But the thing is, all you really are called to in the first instance is to use your gifts to make this kingdom of God grow and to make this world a better place. And you can do that. Am I right? You're probably already doing it. Am I right? Try it. And you can do it better. Am I right?
Yes.
And I can do it better. And the Eagles will have done it very well once they run the Vikings out of Philadelphia today.
Are they going to do it?
They are. They are. Rest assured. We're going to say just to make sure.
So
this is the point. I love to tell the story of Jonah because it's such a good story. Because it's a story that I resonate with, and I bet you do too. It's a story of running away from God and running away from what you're called to and not wanting God's agenda but your own. And so it's important for us to reflect on Jonah. Because it's important for us to reflect on ourselves and the way in which we run away from God and the way in which we refuse our call and the way in which we fail to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul and our neighbors as ourselves. And so this Sunday, this third Sunday of Epiphany, when the Eagles soundly defeat the Vikings, let us keep in mind that we are called to be God's, to be conduits. God's grace and God's love into the world through the use of our gifts. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. And is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy and Catholic and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Continuing in the worship booklet, let us offer prayers to the people. I ask for your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Michael, our presiding bishop, Daniel, our bishop and shepherd, Tim, our priest, Bruce, our minister of music, Lee, our deacon, Deneen, Joanne, Ashley, Emma, and Joey, our altar servers, and for this gathering and for all ministers and people, pray for the church. I ask your prayers for Donald, our president, Thomas, our governor, and Jim, our mayor, and for peace and goodwill among nations and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and for those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or for a deeper knowledge of God. Pray that they may find and be found by God. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. As members of the congregation, let us ask prayers and thanksgivings for those present and for those who celebrate their birthday this week, remembering especially Ryan Gardner, Aline Curtis, Pat Cellini, and Carl Sharpless.
I ask your prayers for Curtis and for Joseph. I ask your prayers for our subdeacon, John.
I ask your prayers for those on our prayer list. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored, especially the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, blessed Luke, and all the saints. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy,
we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive and restore and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let's greet one another in the name of Christ. Yeah, I hope it's not a big letter.
Don't say that.
No, don't ever think that way. Peace, Bruce. Peace to you. Peace, Mark.
Peace, Bruce.